like to thank my friend Reese for inviting me to come speak for the camp this week. Thanks to Pastor Schlegel and the church for giving me this opportunity, as well as the others. I grew up in a non-Christian home in Macomb, Illinois, and didn't really know anything about the Bible until, as a college student, I read some books about apologetics that gave me the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through reading those apologetics books and then a tract on my windshield that somebody put there, God saved me. And then a year after I was saved, God directed me to Bob Jones, and I've been in Greenville ever since. I grew up in a home where, of course, we never went to church. And all the music that I was exposed to is not music that I would listen to now. And music, as you know, is quite a controversial subject in our day. And what we need to do is we need to go back to the foundation. And where we need to go is we need to consider God's provision for us. God has given us all scripture to profit and equip us for every good work. And we need to believe what God says here in this passage. So you're familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16, which says all scripture, not some of it, but all of it, is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Surely that applies to what God wants us to know about music. So we tonight are going to immerse ourselves in what God has to say. If you didn't receive a handout, you need to have a handout, because we're going to cover a lot of passages, and all the major points are on that handout. So where should we start in considering what the Bible has to say about music? Well, as you know, our Bibles are a collection of 66 books that God inspired. And when you compare and contrast those 66 books, one book immediately stands out for many reasons. The book of Psalms is the longest book in several ways. Consider these facts about the book of Psalms. Psalms has 150 chapters. The next longest book, Isaiah, has 66. Psalms has 2,461 verses. The next longest book, Genesis, has 1,533 verses. Psalms is more than 60% longer than the next longest book in your Bible. Psalms has 43,738 words. The next longest book, Jeremiah, has 42,654. And as you know, Psalms has the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. Luke 1, the next longest chapter, has 80 verses. Clearly then, God has given us something extraordinary in the book of Psalms. When God devotes that much attention to a subject, we know that that subject is very important to God. And if it's very important to God, it should be very important to us. Because the book of Psalms is entirely divinely inspired texts of songs that people were and are to sing, the longest book in Scripture is entirely about music in that sense. Have you ever thought about the fact that every chapter, every verse, every word in the book of Psalms is inspired revelation about music, because they are part of texts that God has given to His people to sing? So that shows us the importance of music. But beyond that, of the 150 Psalms, at least 124, more than 80% of the Psalms, refer explicitly to something that has to do with music. So in the superscriptions, you'll have it say a psalm or a song, or it'll mention David or to the choir director, or it will have some other musical notation, or somewhere in the psalm it will talk about singing or musical instruments. And that's in more than 80% of the psalms. So more than 80% of the psalms are explicitly about music. Consider also that not just in the psalms, but throughout the rest of the Bible, God has given us at least a total of 160 songs. And besides psalms, Song of Solomon is a book of the Bible that is entirely inspired revelation about music, because it is a song that God has given to his people. When we look at all of the Bible passages that speak explicitly about music, we have more than 500 verses in the Bible on the subject of music. Those are explicit references to music. And when you add to that all of the song texts that we have in Scripture, we have more than 3,000 verses on the subject of music. Did God get your attention yet? 3,000 verses in your Bible pertain to music. The biblical importance of music is undeniable. And there are at least 243 verses that refer explicitly to singing, and 171 verses that speak of musical instruments in some manner. Lots of revelation in the Scripture about music. We should especially note that in that wealth of Scripture, God has commanded us more than 36 times to sing to him. Can you think of very many other things that God has commanded his people to do that many times? 36 times God commands us to sing to him, and a dozen commands for instrumental music ministry to God. Plainly, music is very important to God. The book of Psalms itself has more than 40 commands, just in the book of Psalms, concerning ministering to God with music, including multiple commands to the whole world to do so. When we survey the book of Psalms, certain psalms stand out. These key psalms stress for us the importance of music in a special way. As we look through these psalms, pay attention to the different truths that God emphasizes in each of these psalms. Let's start with Psalm 33, one of the premier passages. This is one of the passages that I use with my guitar students to challenge them to play guitar for the glory of God. Look how this psalm begins with a string of commands. Rejoice in the Lord, a command, and it's directed to people of a certain character, people who are righteous, people who fulfill their obligations. And notice that it's being directed to a group. It's, O ye righteous. And then it explains, for praise is comely. It's fitting for upright people. And then you have these commands. Praise the Lord with a stringed instrument. Sing unto him with more stringed instruments. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. So we've already had three commands that pertain to music. And it continues. Sing unto him a new song. And now note this. Play skillfully. God wants people who are skillful in giving him the glory that is due his name through music. And that's why what you're doing in this camp is very important. God wants skillful musicians who can glorify him by playing skillfully with a loud noise. But have you ever connected all of those commands with the explanation that comes next? It is vital for you to pay attention to little connector words like for, because this is an explanation of what has gone before. All of those commands are explained by this revelation, because the word of the Lord is right. The character of God's word and the character of God's works, all his works are done in truth. And the character of God himself. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's the foundation on which God is commanding all instrumental ministry to him in music. In our music, we must skillfully proclaim God's glories. Through your instrumental music playing, you are to communicate truth about the glory of God's word, the glory of God's works, the glory of God's character itself. And we have other revelation, not in the Psalms, that ties very closely to this, when in 1 Chronicles 25, we are told that David and others separated people who would minister in music, and they would do this. They would prophesy. That is a very important biblical word that means to speak forth truth for God. And they were to do this with harps, psalteries, and with cymbals. And they were to do this, prophesied with a harp, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God. God commanded his people to prophesy for him with the use of both instrumental music and singing. That is the importance of music. When you minister as a Christian in a worship context, you are not just there for displaying your skill. You are there to prophesy for God. We need to take this as a sacred trust from a God who deserves our very best to glorify him in everything that we do. We must view our music ministry as prophesying for him. But there's more. Consider what's in Psalm 47. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now note these commands. Oh, clap your hands, how many people? All ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Explanation. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Because God is the king of the whole earth, there are multiple commands that we must all obey. And those commands include these. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And note the phenomenal emphasis that is in these next two verses. Count this. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Five times in two verses, God commands us to sing praises to him and to do it with understanding and to do it because he is the king of all the earth. That is the importance of music. Glorifying God in music is not just for his people. This is an obligation for every human being in the whole world. Everybody is commanded to glorify God with music that is acceptable to him. And this is a vital aspect of the kingdom of God. As you know, the kingdom of God was the central theme in the preaching of Jesus and the apostles. And we need to connect what this passage and other passages reveal is part of the kingdom of God on the earth. People glorifying him with music is a vital aspect of the kingdom of God coming to this world. Then we have this revelation. In Psalm 92, here's a psalm that specifies a psalm or song for a specific day. The Sabbath day was given by God for his people to consecrate entirely to him. And on that day, we're told that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to do this, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So we're commanded to sing praises to him, Psalm 47. And here we're told it's a good thing to do, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. So God revealed here that he wanted corporate worship from his people on his special day in the morning and in the evening. And it's tragic that there are many churches in our country that are doing away with corporate worship in the evening. God wants worship from his people in the morning and in the evening on his day. And he has revealed that to us through this passage and other passages. And what kind of worship does he want? He wants us to sing praises unto his name, and he wants us to do it on stringed instruments, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. And why are we to do this? For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. As believers, you and I need to understand that we need to come to God's house on God's day foremost, not for what we're going to receive, but for what we are going to give to God himself. We need to give God the worship that he deserves, that he desires, that he commands from all the earth, and that worship must include music that is acceptable to him. We've already seen that Psalms address the whole world. The book of Psalms addresses all the earth more times than any other book of the Bible does. Look at Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, how many people? All the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalm 98, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. So the quality of what is being sung is being commanded as well as the singing. Explanation, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many times have we seen this? All the earth. Repeated commands for musical ministry that pleases God to the whole earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. And it continues. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, once again, the King. So we have a pronounced emphasis in the book of Psalms on God as the King. And we need to pay attention when the Bible talks to us about God as the King and what our obligations are to him because he is the King. I hope that from this point forward, if you haven't already done so previously in your life, you will connect what you do musically with the kingdom of God and giving God the glory that he's due as the King of all the earth. Not just in the Psalms, but in other passages in the Bible, we have at least 10 passages that teach us that God commands all the world to worship him with music. And the whole world has never obeyed those commands. And these commands were not just for people living in biblical times, as we will see later. And then the glorious musical climax of the book of Psalms. To understand how the book of Psalms climaxes, we need to consider what God reveals in Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 23, teaches us, "Whoso offereth praise does this, glorifieth me." How do we give glory to God? A preeminent way that we give glory to God is to praise him. In the book of Psalms alone, we are commanded 66 times to praise God. 58 times we are told, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." 8 times we're told, "Sing praise to God." So the book of Psalms, more than any other part of the Bible, commands us to praise God over and over and over again and glorify him by doing so. And the last psalm especially does this when it authoritatively directs us 13 times. In every verse, we are commanded to praise the Lord. And a string of verses tell us we have to do this with musical ministry. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Has God gotten your attention yet? The longest book that he inspired is entirely about music. And when you consider what that book is replete with, it's all about how God wants glory through music that pleases him, not just from us as believers, but from the whole world. So everybody that's here this evening needs to adjust your thinking to what God says. When you come to church, you should come prepared to sing to the glory of God. You need to pay attention to the words that you're singing. We are commanded to sing praises with understanding. We need to give much more attention to what we're doing musically in our services. The music here is great, and you need to keep that up, and every one of you needs to take that upon you as an individual obligation before God, regardless of your age, regardless of your musical ability. You need to give God the glory that is due his name with music that pleases him. Consider also what else God reveals to us. In one of the most important passages in the whole Bible on worship, we read this in 2 Chronicles 5. "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place," a consecrated location, "for all the priests that were present were sanctified, consecrated ministers, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites," all of these are specially chosen people, "which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen," special garb even, "having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. it came even to pass, follow this, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound. That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen except there is a lot of attention given and practice and thought. They were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then and only then the house of God was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For what happened? For the glory of God filled his house. And this passage teaches us that the glory of God only filled that house when his people had ministered to him in music. That's how important music is to God. That when God filled his sanctuary with his glory, it was only after his people had ministered to him musically. So I'd like to challenge you who are involved in the music ministry here. Note what is exemplified for us here. They were as one to make one sound to glorify God. That means you should prioritize what you do in preparing for choir practice and whatever else you do musically here. It matters to God that you come prepared, ready to give him the glory, united as one when you worship him with music. And when you practice at home, you should do it with an eye single, that I'm going to use my skills to give God the glory that he wants from us as his people. Consider also that Scripture highlights the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered instrumental ability of David, who is the most important musician spoken of in Scripture. In 1 Samuel 16, we're told that Samuel anointed David, and the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. And we're also told that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And you know what happened, that Saul became tormented by an evil spirit. And those who were around him recommended to him that he find a skillful musician who would play to him, and that would bring relief to him. And one of those servants said, "Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing." David was skillful in playing. So he had the Spirit of God upon him, and he was also skillful in playing, and God was with him. And through David, in a passage that emphasizes instrumental music five times, there is no mention of singing in this passage. The entire emphasis in this passage is on instrumental music, and the power of instrumental music is profoundly seen here when this demon-afflicted man is delivered from that demonic affliction by a Spirit-empowered musician who is a divinely given means of greatly benefiting him, including delivering him from that demonic affliction. That's the glorious prospect that you who are in the music ministry here have. You never know who's going to come into the services here. There may be people who are demonically afflicted in their lives. And God wants to use not just what's preached here, as important as that is, obviously. God wants to use the music ministry of Spirit-empowered, consecrated, skillful musicians to deliver people from great bondage. That is the biblical importance of music. and we see the profound spiritual effects that instrumental music can have. And we should also note that Scripture records horrific human misuse of music. Daniel 3 records one of the darkest events in the history of the world. Nebuchadnezzar erects an idol, and he gathers all these leaders together, and then he commands them that at the signal given by a profound collection of musicians, they were all to bow down and worship. And all these people who misused music on that occasion failed to give God the glory that is due His name. So Scripture highlights for us the use of musical instruments in a premier instance of false worship. We need to pay attention to everything God says in the Bible in those 3,000 plus verses that He has given to us. Now, when we move to the New Testament, it just keeps building and building. The New Testament highlights the importance of music in many additional ways. Did you know that the New Testament quotes the book of Psalms more than any other book of the Old Testament? As a New Testament believer, of course you want to understand what the New Testament reveals. You cannot understand the New Testament properly if you have not immersed yourself in the book of Psalms. Because the theology of the New Testament is profoundly built on what God revealed in the book of Psalms. And God gave that revelation through music that He wanted His people to sing. So our singing even facilitates our understanding of the New Testament. Because when we sing the Psalms to one another, as God wants us to do, we are actually furnishing our minds with profoundly important content that God wants to use to illumine our minds in the New Testament. So keep that in mind when you read the Gospels, Acts, the Epistles, and the book of Revelation. The New Testament uses at least 103 out of those 150 Psalms, and it does so in 22 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. Think also that the New Testament records that Jesus the Messiah, the incarnate Son of God, sang when He was on the earth, and someday He's going to sing again in the future. Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, worshiped God the Father faithfully with music that was acceptable to God. Jesus is our example, musically, as well as in every other way. And the New Testament records that there's coming a glorious day when messianic revelation in Psalm 22 is going to be fulfilled. In Psalm 22:22, we read, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." Note that in the Old Testament, it's just stated as praise. But the New Testament interprets that this way, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I do what? Will I sing praise." So the Holy Spirit inspires the writer of Hebrews to interpret the word praise in Psalm 22 with explicit revelation about singing. And the Messiah is going to do that one day to the glory of God. Of course, you're familiar with this crucial passage that talks to us about the will of God. God doesn't want us to be foolish. He wants us to understand what His will is. And in Ephesians 5, we are told, don't be drunk with wine, because therein is ruin, dissipation, excess, but rather command, be filled with God's Spirit. Every one of us is commanded by God to be filled with His Spirit, and look at the glorious result of people being Spirit-filled is. What does it look like when God's people are Spirit-filled? It looks like this. Speaking to yourselves in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You need to pay attention to this passage. This is one of the most important truths that God reveals, that when His people are properly controlled by His Spirit, they are going to be musical people who glorify Him with music that pleases Him, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in a parallel passage, or in that passage, we have learned the mutual musical ministry is the will of God. So when you come to church, come prepared, yes, to give glory to God, but not just to give glory to God through your music. We also need to come prepared to minister to one another with our singing. Why do you need to be in church every time that God's people assemble? You need to be in church every time God's people assemble because God wants to use you to minister to everybody else. When you're not here, you shortchange yourself, all the rest of the body, and God. You need to be in God's house Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, to give God the glory that is due His name and to use your gifts to build the body of Christ. Mutual musical ministry is the will of God for all of His people. And the parallel passage in Colossians 3 augments our understanding in this way. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what will that result in? The filling of God's Spirit results in musical ministry, and allowing God's Word to dwell in you richly results in the same musical ministry. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So when you connect Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, you need to understand, how are you going to be Spirit-filled concerning music that is acceptable to God? You must be immersed in what? You must be immersed in what God has revealed to you in the longest book of the Bible, and you must be immersed in this book. You need to be a Bible reader. You need to be reading your Bible every day of your life. Because God wants to speak to you. And God wants to teach you how to glorify Him, not just in music, but in every area of your life. And one of the main reasons that we have so many problems with music in our day is that God's people have not immersed themselves in God's own words. You need to immerse yourself in the book of Psalms. In 2012, because I was involved in a work project helping edit a book that was being written on the subject of music, I started out reading the book of Psalms early that year. And I thought, wow, I really need to read this again. So I read it a second time. And I just kept feeling burdened. So I read it a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. And by the end of the year in 2012, I had read the book of Psalms through 25 times in that one year. What does it take for God to arrest the attention of a human being so you'll read the same book 25 times in 1 year, it's because God has something profoundly important to say to all of us through the book of Psalms. If you want to understand music that glorifies God, if you want to minister music to the glory of God, you need to immerse yourself in the book of Psalms for the rest of your life. And you need to do it all of your life long. And the New Testament goes on to say that God commands us to sing the Psalms. Is any merry? Let him sing Psalms. So both Testaments, doesn't matter whether you were an Old Testament believer or you're a New Testament believer, you are commanded to sing the Psalms. One of the great reasons that we have so many problems with music in the Church of Jesus Christ in our day is God's people haven't been singing the Psalms. And Reese and I prayed for several years that God would move, and now at my church, we sing the Psalms regularly. Praise God. And that needs to happen in every church all over the world. God's people need to be singing the book of Psalms to one another so that they will have God's mind about music. 1 Corinthians 14 is a key passage that we need to turn to because there's so much content in this passage. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and we're just going to note a few things in this passage. 1 Corinthians 14 may very well be the most important passage in the Bible on corporate worship. And as you know, this passage talks to us about prophesying, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And the passage profoundly emphasizes edifying one another. And in that context, look at what 1 Corinthians 14 says in verse 7. And even things without life giving sound. Well, what's that? That's a biblical definition of a musical instrument. An inanimate object that produces sound. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they do this, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? God is talking about instrumental music in this chapter on corporate worship in the New Testament. And look at verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So this passage talks about instrumental music. It talks about singing. And now go with me to verses 23 and following. Look at what's taught here. If therefore the whole church, not part of the church, one part of the church meets here, another part of the church meets over there, and they're all, no. If therefore the whole church be come together, where? Into one place. And all do this, speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if all do this, if everybody prophesies, including through singing and through musical instruments, this is going to be the result. And there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren? Note where Paul goes next. When you come together, every one of you hath a what? hath a psalm. What does that tell us? That in the church in Corinth, what were they ministering regularly? They were ministering the psalms to one another. And they were doing it in the context of corporate worship, such that when unbelievers or unlearned people come in your midst, God uses all of that prophesying to convict those sinners and bring them to fall on their faces and worship God. God wants to use your music ministries to bring lost people to Himself through godly music that pleases Him. So certainly 1 Corinthians 14 is a vital passage for us to understand the biblical importance of music. Let's go on. We know from Matthew 28 in the Great Commission that obeying God's command is central to discipleship. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, teaching them to observe what? To observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Now think. 36 commands to sing. Multiple commands to the whole world to glorify God with music. 66 commands just in the book of Psalms to praise God. What are we supposed to do with all of those commands? We are supposed to go into all the world and disciple all nations to obey God's commands to worship Him with music that is acceptable to Him. Who else is going to do it? God's people are the ones who have to do this. We need to go into all of the world and teach them what kind of instrumental music pleases God and what kind of instrumental music does not. And we need to teach them how to sing to the glory of God. The church needs to do this. This church needs to do this. So the missionaries that you send forth from this church, they should be equipped to go into the world and disciple people concerning music that pleases God. Romans 15 shows us the profound importance of worldwide discipleship concerning music. Look at what Paul says. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God." So note who he's talking about, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a servant to do this, to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And now Jesus Christ was a minister to whom? To the Gentiles, to the lost people, that the Gentiles might do what? Might glorify God for His mercy. And now Paul is going to cite four Old Testament passages. And three of them are from songs in the Old Testament. Did you know that the passages that Paul is quoting here are actually revelation to the whole world that they are to glorify God for His mercy through music? Look at what he quotes. "As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and do what? Sing unto thy name." That's Psalm 18, verse 49. And again he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." That's Deuteronomy 32, one of those glorious songs that God gave to his people. And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." That's Psalm 117. So Psalm 117 was given to Old Testament believers as divine commands to the whole world. And the New Testament is teaching us that those commands continue right through our day. The whole world is to glorify God for His mercy by praising the Lord with music. And all of the people of the world are to do this. And of course, we come to the climax in the climactic book of divine revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse 8. And when he, that's the Lamb, had taken the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them stringed instruments, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And what are they doing? And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And God will one day finally get all the glory that is due his name from all his creation, when all created beings are going to worship him with music that is pleasing to him. That is the biblical importance of music, brethren. So, our sacred mission. God desires and deserves and demands that the whole world would glorify him with music. And because God is the King of all the earth, who desires, deserves, and demands worship and music from all the earth, the church must disciple all the nations to worship him with music that is acceptable to him. On Wednesday night, we're going to consider what God says about music that God rejects. You need to know what God says about music that he rejects so you can fulfill this sacred mission. So how are you going to respond to all this glorious truth that God has given us tonight? This is the resolve that God wants from everyone that's here. Look at what the psalmists say. I will sing unto the Lord how long? As long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as I exist, I am going to glorify God by singing praise to him. Look at Psalm 146, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is giving counsel to yourself, talking to yourself with the truth, commanding yourself, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Did you hear from God about the biblical importance of music? God desires, deserves, and demands that all the world would glorify him with music that is pleasing to him. Let's pray.